Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and syndicated on missionsradio.org and livelyplay.com. You can go to parentpumpradio.com to leave your questions, comments, and suggestions. So are you tired of having to yell, nag, remind, or punish your children? Are you done with the power struggles and lack of engagement you're experiencing at home with your children and family? Did you know that the studies show that the teens of today have the stress and anxiety level of a 1950 psychiatric patient? And if these stress and anxiety level aren't dealt with, it can lead to depression, substance abuse, and even suicide. And if these things aren't handled in the children's early years, it can only get worse in the teenage years. So imagine not having to yell, nag, punish your children to get them to do something. Imagine what it'd be like to walk into a room where you have the skills to effectively communicate in a way where people are engaged, everyone is working towards the same goal, and is supportive of each other's feelings and needs. Well, this can be a reality. Our Harmonious Family Blueprint program teaches parents the techniques to increase harmony and joy in their home. And the program is a 3-month commitment. If you're interested, email us at info@integrativeminds.com with your contact information so we can schedule an interview time. The link is at the bottom in the show notes. And remember to order our Amazon number one best-selling book called Amazing Itty Bitty Book on Family Leadership. It's $6.99 on paperback and $2.99 on Kindle. The link is also in the show notes. Today's topic is the many benefits and perks of creating a family business. I don't think a lot of Americans have a family business, and if they do, they maybe aren't even including their children. Today's guest, and I can't think of someone better to talk about this subject, he has been a past expert on our show. It's show number 38. Please go back and listen to it. It's called The Key to Wealth, The 3 Mistakes That Keep You from Financial Freedom. He has such a depth of knowledge about money, wealth, and finance that you need to listen to him. He is a successful business investor, businessman, and also attorney who specializes in tax, business, real estate, and estate planning. I actually met him a couple years ago, and he has helped me understand about investing and money and wealth and finance. He wasn't always doing this. In his younger day, he was actually a K-9 officer and a deputy sheriff for LA County. So he really does care for the community. And when you meet him, you're going to find out that he does have a genuine love and passion on helping people create long-term wealth. And he wants to keep that long-term relationship with you. He's really passionate about educating people to help them create a multi-generational wealth for their family and financial freedom. I don't want to keep you waiting much longer. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to our past guest, and he's back here again, Maurice Kempner. Hi, Maurice.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good, Jackie. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming back and teaching us more about how we can be financially free.
Yeah, that's my favorite subject almost, next to family.
Yeah, when you start having family, you realize how much your time means with your children. And if you are working and trading hours for money, you don't have that time to enjoy it with your family.
Well, yeah, one of the big mistakes people make is they think wealth is financial assets like a paycheck or money in the bank, and that's only part of it. So they spend all of their time pursuing those financial assets instead of spending time on the things that they're pursuing the financial assets for. In other words, their family and other things. That's why they earn money. And yeah, real wealth, like we talked about before, is more or less all the things you know and all the people you know, the connections you've made, your skills, your knowledge. That's what allows you to generate the financial assets.
And you really talk in depth about that on our show number 38, The Key to Wealth. Let's step a little back. I want to know about you. Why are you so passionate about helping families?
Well, it just goes back to the way I was raised. I was told that a family should have a purpose. I know most people, they just get married. They never really sit down and talk to the person they get married to and say things like, well, should we start a family? And if we start a family, what will the purpose of our family be? They just do it because it comes natural. But those are the things I was taught, is a family should have a purpose. It should have goals. And the family should all be on the same page and work towards those goals. There's a primary purpose, in other words, for the family, and there's a primary purpose for each person's life.
I can't agree with that more. I mean, that's what I talk in my program, is if you don't, you have to have an individual goal and a family goals that you work towards together, which makes the family more of a unit. And I'm so glad that you say that is important, and that's a key in creating wealth.
Well, it's the most important thing, because anything that doesn't serve the primary purpose of your life and of your family is pretty much a waste of time, in my opinion. So if you're out there, in other words, working 40 to 60 hours a week, or you're all stressed out all the time so it affects your family life, really then your job or your business isn't serving the primary purpose of your life or your family.
That's a great point. Let's get into what our topic is about today, which is the benefits and the perks of creating a family business. When you have a business, can you have your kids working for you in your business and have it be beneficial?
Yeah. So all of my kids work in our business. They have different jobs that they do. Now, the thing about it is, to be legal for you to pay them to do that kind of thing, they have to actually do things that are that make business sense. In other words, something that you could and would hire somebody else to do, not just something that you make up or that doesn't make economic sense for your business. But all the things we have our kids do actually meet that criteria. And there's just no way to do that unless you have a business.
And that meets the tax code, then, is what you're saying.
Right. So I started working in my family business when I was 6 years old. I would go out in the fields and stand in the wheat so they could see where to put the irrigation pipes. They were trying to put one end of one pipe into another, and the wheat was too high for them to see it. So I would stand by it so they could see where it is, and then I'd help them guide it in. And I got paid 25 cents an hour for that.
So you were the measuring tape, basically.
Well, I've always been tall. I'm 6'4" now. When I was 6 years old, I was taller than the wheat, and that's all I needed to be. So when they were irrigating it, that's how they found the other end of the pipe.
Then if you have your kids working for you, what's an appropriate way to pay them? And how do you determine how much that is?
Well, you have to pay them to be legal. You have to pay them what's appropriate for that kind of work. So the same kind of pay you would pay somebody else to do that kind of work. One of our kids, two of them actually have been working in the office. They're in college. And they move files around for the attorneys. They answer the phone. They keep records of expenses coming in and out. All kinds of things like that, whatever people need them to do. Now, that's pretty basic work. So you couldn't pay somebody like that $100,000 a year to do that.
Okay, so you have to make sure that it makes sense.
Right. So if you got audited, the wage you're paying them and the job they're doing, first of all, the job would have to make sense. That would be a job that your business could use and need and makes economic sense for the business. And that the pay is appropriate for what they're doing, what you'd pay somebody else for that job. That's how you win an audit in that case.
Okay.
It gives you some leeway. It gives you some leeway, but you have to be within the realm of reality if you're going to get through an audit on something like that.
Now, you said you were 6 years old when you started working your business. What's the youngest age that you can start working in the family business?
Well, there's a court case that says that said that a seven-year-old working in a family business was okay for what they were doing, what they were getting paid for. It's okay. But there's no law or anything that says, or any court case that says, you have to be a certain age. It just has to make sense.
Okay.
I was 6 years old, and there's no law or rule on a six-year-old, but what I did made sense and the pay was appropriate.
Okay. So it also depends on your business, because I know, like in the entertainment industry, I mean, they hire infants for movies. So
Yep.
They are working kids, even though they're pretty much newborn.
Well, and I think you could hire a kid to do certain photo shoots for your business.
Okay, yeah.
And certain other things for your business along those lines, or to help make commercials for your business.
That's a good point. And then you can just find out.
That's all appropriate.
Right, and you can find out what the industry standard is for a child model or something.
So there's all kinds of creative ways that you can do it, where you can pay a kid for things that they do in the business.
If someone has a question about what kind of position that they can hire their kids in, can they call you or email you and run it by you?
Yeah.
Okay. Maurice's contact information is in the show notes. What about college?
Yes.
How does your kids use this money so that he can pay for college?
So you could pay up to around $4,500 before a kid has to pay taxes in California. And around $6,500 for the federal taxes as of this show. And that could, of course, change at any time, and does with inflation. But you could pay them up to that amount, and then there's no income tax on that. That amount they get tax-free. And then after that, the tax is around 10% for federal and even less for the state. So you're basically shifting income from your income, what would have been yours, tax at a higher rate, to the children. And then the children can use that money to pay for college. And so the college is paid for at a much reduced rate than it would be if you had to earn the money, pay taxes on it, and then turn around and use it to pay for college. So another thing you can do is, it's legal to actually buy equipment or have equipment in your office or your business, for example, and you can gift up to a certain amount of that stuff. So you depreciate it out, which you can take up to a certain amount of depreciation every year, which is where you deduct the cost of it up front. And then all at once, if you want to, you can elect to do that. Then you can gift it to the child, and then the child will rent it back to you, and you can pay the child rent for that, and for that equipment, and they can use that rent that they received to pay for school. And you can deduct it as a business expense.
Now, you're saying the wage that you give your child,
mm-hmm.
he or she can take that money and put it towards an account that pays for college.
They just take it straight down and pay for tuition.
Oh, this is like while they're in college, too. They can just do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So our kids do various things for us. A lot of the stuff they can do remotely. So Matthew, for example, he maintains blogs
mm-hmm.
for us on our websites. Things like that. Then in the summer, they come and work for us at the office of the law firm, moving files around, helping attorneys, things like that. That's a ongoing thing. The other thing you can do, if they're an employee and they meet certain criteria as an employee and you meet certain rules, you can give them certain educational benefits as an employee. And then you can write that off as business expense.
What do you mean by educational benefits?
Well, you know how certain employers, if their employee goes to school, they'll reimburse them up to a certain amount?
Uh-huh.
You can set that up through your business. It just has to apply to all employees, though.
Right.
So you can make it in a custom way that is for sure going to apply to your kids, and maybe it won't apply to all the other kids that other people have, or maybe other employees don't have kids in college.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
all kinds of ways to do that. And if you have a small business, it's especially effective because it gives you more room to maneuver.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have a small business and your kids are the only one working there, then that works really well.
Yeah, exactly. And you can set up different businesses. So we have different law firms and a real estate firm and all these other things, and they can work for those businesses, and you can have other employees work for other businesses where they don't have those benefits, if you want to get around that.
Oh, so certain entity can have that perk of education,
yeah.
other entity don't, and the entity that does
right.
will employ your children.
Right.
That's all part of a tax write-off because
right.
that's educational. Okay.
Right.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah. All these rules are there to benefit business owners, but as an employee, all you can do is, there's a certain tax credit you can get for college for your kids up to a certain amount, but if you make over a certain amount of income, then you're not eligible. And in California, states like California, for example, where the income is higher and the expenses are higher, it's hard for them sometimes to get the credit, even though they might be living at the same level of lifestyle as somebody in Des Moines, Iowa, let's say, who makes much less and gets a credit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so different state obviously has different criteria or laws or rules.
Well, no, it's the federal rule. So, for example, once you make over a certain amount of money, they take away that credit that you can get for having your kids in college. So what they do is they reimburse you a certain amount of your kids' tuition, up to $2,500 is the best credit available.
Okay.
And that's all you can get back, is up to $2,500. But once you make over a certain amount of money, they won't give you any of that. They'll start to reduce it. So, for example, a police officer in California might make $100,000 a year, and that might start to phase him out because his income is high. It might start to phase him out with his wife's income and other things from getting that college credit, whereas somebody, a police officer in Des Moines, Iowa, might make $45,000 a year, and he would get the credit.
Okay.
But the guy in Des Moines, Iowa, has the same size of house. Mm-hmm. And lives the same lifestyle as the officer in California because his expenses are less there.
So should we all move to Des Moines?
Well, I'm just saying, depending on where you're at, when you're an employee, it's harder to get these credits. Or if you make over a certain amount, it's hard to get these credits. But if you own a business, you can make millions of dollars a year and still do all the stuff I'm talking about.
So as a business entity, you don't have that cap.
No, a business expense is a business expense. And you can pay your kids a wage, and it doesn't matter what your income is, as long as it's all on the up and up and you're paying them for a job that they're doing and you follow all the rules, you can do these things.
Okay.
But with an employee, there's limits to the income you can have, and then you only get this little credit of up to $2,500.
So you want to get out of the mentality of being an employee then and get into a business.
Yes.
So that you can benefit, the whole family can benefit.
Yes. And then you just work it as a family. If you work the business together as a family, what happens is all the family members are interested in the business.
Yeah.
That's the goal that you want to try to achieve. And then your kids are all on the same page with you. You all have something in common. It makes a tighter family bond because everybody's interested in the same thing.
Okay.
Everybody depends on and uses the business for the things that they're doing.
So now, early, I'm going to step back because you mentioned something about renting out equipment. What kind of equipment can you buy that the kids can rent? I mean, they're not going to rent a copy machine.
Computers, furniture,
scanner,
a copy machine, anything you've got. Construction equipment, tractors, trucks, cars, whatever kind of business you've got. And every business is a custom job. So when we consult with our people, everybody's business is different. So you have to base it on what kind of equipment that business has or what they do.
You said computer. So obviously our children are going to need computers in general, especially when they go to college. So you can buy, as a business, buy that computer. Your child can rent it back from you.
Well, you wouldn't do that. So what I'm talking about is the computer in my office. I might buy it with all the screens and speakers and everything that goes with it. I might have two or three monitors with it or whatever. Maybe it costs me $1,500, $2,000. Then I take the deduction on my tax return all at once. It's called a Section 179 deduction, and I've completely deducted the cost of it. Then I gift it to my kid, and then I pay him rent to rent it from him.
Oh, you gift it to him.
I gift it to him, and then he takes the rent that he gets from me for his computer that he rents to me, and he uses that to pay for college and other things. And I'm basically shifting income from me to him to a much lower tax bracket.
Oh, wow. There's an extra step that I missed in there. So you're buying it, gifting it to him, and then he's renting it back to you, and he's making that money from renting it to you.
Yeah. And think about this now. I deduct the whole cost of that computer as a business expense. Then I turn around, I give it to him, and I rent it from him, and I'm deducting it again as a rental expense.
And that's legal?
That's legal, yeah.
So this is why it's so important to play by the rules and know the rules, right?
Yes.
That's why I love talking to you, because all these things I learn. And people, you just got to reach out to Maurice and talk to him, because every case is a different circumstance, right? Every family is different, and that's how you're able to help them.
Right. Right.
So are there any special depreciation benefits, for example, you know, renting out the equipment?
Well, yeah. So the kid, they can depreciate it as a, well, I don't know about that, but they get to rent it back to you. for that rental income. They get this rental income, which they can then use for anything. And once they're past the age of 19, which they're in college, there's some what they call kiddie tax rules that apply for that kind of thing, any kind of investment income that kids have when they're under that age. So once they're over 19, then they don't have to worry about that. And then that income just goes to them at their tax bracket. Now, if your income is low enough to where you're subject to Social Security and Medicare taxes, it can shift some of the income that would be subject to that to your kids in the form of wages and rental expenses where they can avoid those taxes as well. And that's about 15.3% tax. It's a little confusing, so you just have to sit down and talk with somebody.
Yeah.
But depending on what your business is. But my whole point is that you can shift a lot of this income around so that you don't have to pay taxes on it or it gets paid at a lower bracket. The main ways you avoid taxes are legally is you find some way to make it so that it's just not taxable, or you defer or delay the taxes, or you move the taxes to a lower bracket. Those are the three main ways you get around taxes. So most tax planning to avoid taxes legally revolve around those three things.
Can you just elaborate a little bit more on those three things?
Yeah. So with your family members, you can shift income all around. That's one of the big things you can do with family members, where you got a lot of different family members that are involved in the business. Instead of all the income going to the main people at the top, and then they just spend it on other family members as dependents, they're paying at a much higher tax rate. And then they're using that money to do what they do with the family. Now, parents, when you have underage kids, you're obligated to support your children.
Yeah.
So you can't take wages from children and use that to buy their food and basic clothing and things like that. But you can, it can be used to pay for vacations, things that are above and beyond basic support.
Okay.
Anything that's beyond their basic support requirements that you're required to do as a parent, you can use that money. So you can basically buy their Christmas presents, for example, with money that you didn't pay any income taxes on by using their wages to do that. You can pay for horseback lessons. You can pay for a lot of things. And then when they go to college, you can use that money to pay for college.
Okay.
You can buy rental properties for them with some of the money they make, or you can gift them money every year. And then they can take that money and put it on these rental properties that cost, some of these properties cost in the rest of the United States outside of California. For example, houses, you can buy houses easily for $50,000 to $100,000 on 1,000 to 1,500 square foot homes. And your kids can acquire those. And then by the time they go to college, they can use the rent from those properties to pay for their college.
Is there a minimum age for them to own a property, an income property?
No, they can own it. It's just that they can't legally own it. You're technically the one who has to own it in trust for them until they reach the age of maturity, and then they own it.
Okay. But still, it's their money that they are in a trust for.
Yeah. So money that they earn, you can use for that. Like if they start earning money early on, you can take that money and save it up and use it to acquire real estate or other assets that will generate cash flow for them when they get to college.
Right away, right? You can get cash flow right away.
Yeah, right. Yeah, then they can use that to pay. So let's say, for example, they had enough money where it was enough money to make the payment on their school loans. Rather than take a whole bunch of money and spend like 50 grand a year or 100,000 a year, whatever kind of school, whatever level of school they go to for college, they could actually just borrow the money as a school loan, and then the rental properties or other assets that they've acquired could make the payment on the school loan. So they never actually pay for the school loan or pay for any tuition.
That's something that you can help families with, is finding these very inexpensive $50,000 to $100,000 rental properties for these children to invest in, for the family to invest in. And they don't need to try to find somebody to do that. You actually have a program called the Legacy Program that can help families do that, right?
Right. So my daughter, when she was 11, found her first rental property. and it pays about $1,000 a month after expenses.
Wow, that's awesome. So already she is her own business owner at 11 years old.
Right. So she's 13 now. So if you work with your kids on stuff like that, or they get any money that's inherited to them, or some you gift to them, or some that they earn, however you want to set it up, you can acquire these assets that they can then use later to pay for college. And let's say the college is a certain amount for 4 years, but the payment on a school loan might be much less than that. So you wouldn't have to come up with all the money, mm-hmm. but if at once and pay for that all at once. But if the assets that you've acquired are enough to make the payments on the school loan, you basically shifted your income to a lower bracket where they pay very little or no income taxes. That money's built up to acquire assets that then make the payment on the school loan. So when the kid gets out of school, he doesn't even have a school loan payment. And then you never had to come up with any money for tuition either. That's another way you can do it.
Wow. Okay. Now, what happens if they can't find a property? I mean, do you have enough inventory where someone could get as many properties as they want? If they just call you?
Yeah, they just call us. Properties that we acquire for people, whether it be for retirement or if they just want to use real estate to get in business. And if you don't own a business, this is a good way for you to start to be in business, is just to become a landlord and start to acquire properties. And then when you die, you leave a paycheck for life to your kids in the form of all these properties you've acquired. And your kids can help you through the years. They could do bookkeeping. They could take trips out and check on things when there's problems. They can learn all about business and investing by helping you with that kind of thing. And then when they get old enough, they can start to acquire their own.
So what you're saying is someone who is like a police officer or a teacher who just can't quit their job to start a business right now so they can
right.
have their children be in their business, they can actually just become property owners, and your management company and your firm helps them work through all the business part of it, and that is now their business that their children can be a part of.
Right. So what we're saying is that in order to get all these benefits that come with owning a business, you have to have some kind of business. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're selling coffee or you have a restaurant or you're providing legal services or you're a landlord. It's all business. It's all the same. Okay. What you're really doing there is business. You're not doing any of those things. You're just doing business. And you can learn basic business principles in any business. And as long as you understand business, you can learn the peculiarities of particular kinds of business pretty easily, or you can have people work under you that know those things. But if you know how to run a business, you can make money doing just about anything. So if you have a job and you want to get to a position where you have a business instead, so that you can have all these tax breaks and all the other perks that come with it, and so that you can do something together as a family, you need to go out and get some kind of business. So rather than do some multi-level marketing business or try to start a restaurant on your own or something, unless you have some really good connections that can help you do that, we just start people in the real estate business as landlords. And then they go from there into maybe flipping or commercial properties or all kinds of things, depending on whatever they want to do as time goes on. And then instead of putting their money that they put into their 401k, so for example, a police officer, we can typically take somebody like the police officer in California. They'll put almost 20 grand a year into retirement in addition to the regular retirement. That's elective contributions to what they call a 457, which is like a 401k for civilians. And instead of doing that, they just use that as a down payment on the property every year. And in about 10 to 13 years, we can pretty much equal their income as a police officer.
Wow. You said the properties are $50,000 to $100,000. How much do you need to buy a property between $50,000 and $100,000?
Well, most of the mortgage companies, they won't loan less than $50,000 on a mortgage. So you couldn't get like a $50,000 property and put 20% down and then get a loan for the rest. So a $50,000 property, you'd probably have to pay for all of that. But if you bought properties where you could have at least a $50,000 or more loan, so we're talking about it's equivalent of a car loan with a car payment of somewhere between $200 and $600, depending on how big the property is you buy, you would have to have 20% down on the first four properties for conventional bank loans, and then it's 25% after that.
So on a $100,000 property, you would need $20,000 down.
Right. And if it was a lesser property than that, say a $70,000 property, it'd be around 15 grand.
Okay.
So about the same as you might put into a 401k.
Knowing you, you probably have some savvy way of helping people get that 15 to 20,000 besides having to have come out of their savings account.
Right. So sometimes what'll happen is somebody will come in and they'll say, well, gee, I don't want to come up with this money, or I don't want to take it out of the bank, or I don't have it in the bank. But maybe they've got a house and they've got some equity. So we'll say, okay, well, what you do is you get an equity line on your house. You take the money out of there for the down payment. And then the money that you were putting every month into your retirement, you stop doing that and you use that to pay off the down payment that you took out. And then once that down payment is paid off, then you borrow it out again and do another one.
Okay.
And then your monthly income and expenses pretty much stay the same, and you don't have to come up with any lump of cash. You can do that with an existing 401k or 457. Most of those plans will allow you to borrow up to 50% or $50,000. You can borrow it from yourself out of your own retirement account, put it down, and then instead of making new contributions, you just use the money you would have been using for that to pay off the down payment. And then once you pay it off, you just do another one and another one.
So basically, you don't have to wait till you retire to use your money or to earn money. You can start earning money within 30 days at the close of escrow.
Right. Well, all of our properties are positive cash flow properties when we buy them. We don't buy anything that has, we don't refer anything to our clients that has negative cash flow or that's set up as a negative cash flow property. So that's one of the ways you do it. And then you just shift your contributions that you're making from the way they are now into real estate instead. And then you have something when you're retired that goes up in value every year, and rents go up over time, and the tenants are paying down the loan. So from the time you retire until you die, everything is worth more. Your income goes up more, and then you leave a paycheck for life to your heirs.
And your children can be a part of that business.
Right. Well, that's the goal. You want them to help you do it all. They go with you. If you go look at anything, they help you keep track of everything. They help you figure out the profits and losses. And that's because you want them to learn how to do all this stuff. It's not anything they're going to learn in school. So you really need to, everything you learn, you want to pass that on to them and do it as a group. And your properties will be yours. And as they get older, they'll acquire theirs. Or if they inherit any money or they earn money, doing things for you, they can use that money to start acquiring their properties as soon as possible too. And then every generation just continues to add these business assets, whether it be a rental property or any other kind of business that you acquire and grow. And it just builds up from generation to generation.
Awesome. We're running out of time, but really quick, what kind of income can someone make from, say, $100,000 properties in a month?
$100,000 property, we don't even look at a property unless the gross rent that it receives is at least 10% or more of the purchase price. So that means for $100,000 property, you have to get at least $10,000 a year in rent, or we won't even consider it. That's $10,000 a year in rent before any expenses. That means a $300,000 or $600,000, say a $600,000 house in California would have to get $60,000 a year in gross rent to equal that rate of return, and they just don't do that in California. And we help a lot of other people who have rental properties. So if you know people who have rental properties in California, we're working on one right now. It's worth about $800,000. The guy makes about $35,000 to $40,000 after expenses, and after we move it from California to other states by doing a tax-free exchange. So we're doing it so he doesn't have to pay any taxes on his profit. And he's just exchanging it from California rental properties to out-of-state properties. He'll be making well over $100,000 a year in positive cash flow.
That's quadruple what he's making.
Yeah. So if anybody knows anybody who has rental properties in California, we can help them make a lot more money by exchanging that property for properties in other states.
But this is all really about the fact that you don't have to quit your job if you have a job that you can't right now or that you really love to create a business to help the whole family and to help them pay for college and pay for Christmas presents and pay for horseback riding expense.
Right. There's all kinds of ways you can do that. And you can do it with just about any kind of business. And some people have some real skills that they can turn into a business. So, for example, I know a guy who has been working as an employee for years and years, but he manages employees, he hires them, he fires them, he recruits them and all that kind of stuff. A guy like that could easily have his own headhunting business where he goes out and he recruits people for other businesses. So a lot of times people have skills that they don't realize they can use. And it wouldn't cost him anything to set that up. He can do it right from home.
So we're out of time. Be sure to catch our show number 38, Key to Wealth, Three Mistakes That Keep You from Financial Freedom, that Maurice really, really teaches some amazing reasons what you're doing that is basically keeping you from financial freedom. And Maurice is available. His contact information is in the show notes. He's here to help you. Like he said, every person is a little different, and he is here to help you. So contact him if you want to learn more about his legacy program on real estate. And thank you so much, Maurice, for your time again. And I'm sure we'll have you back on for some other great financial freedom show.
All right. Thanks, Jackie.
Okay. And listeners, until next time, always be learning and always be growing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.